Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. Lots to talk about tonight. I hope you'll join me in praying for Israel and for the peace of Jerusalem there. If you're not aware of what we're talking about, you've not been looking at anything on the news since Saturday morning. I was actually got up Saturday morning and got a text message from somebody in our church saying, "Have you seen what's going on in Israel?" And I opened up my phone. I thought, "Oh my, this is unbelievable. It's hard to believe what you're hearing." But again, as I said, hope you'll join me in praying for Israel. Psalm 122, verse 6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." And I think it's our duty as Christians to pray for them and the situation that's going on over there. Lots of questions being asked. We're going to be dealing with some of this here this evening, I'm sure. But a lot of questions being asked. One of the big ones that I hear and I've seen online, is this the beginning possibly of the prophesied Ezekiel 38 invasion of the Middle East? And my short answer to that is a resounding, I believe, no. I believe personally that it's something else, and possibly, I don't know for sure, this could all be over with. I don't think it will be, but it could conceivably all be over with in a few days or a couple of weeks, but this could escalate far beyond where it is right now. There's another battle that is talked about in Psalm 83, which some people believe has already occurred, but I've got reason that I think that that has not yet occurred. And if I were going to make a guess myself, my educated guess is that this could possibly be the beginning of that, but I don't know that for sure. And so we may explore some of those things here tonight. But what was ironic is I had just spent the bulk of our two-hour Bible study on Friday night. Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and by the way, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I am Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can certainly find more out about us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs, read some of my articles that are there, and also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. As I was saying, we have a Bible study. It's an informal Bible study every Friday night, and you are more than welcome if you're in the area to come visit us on our Friday night Bible study. It's informal. We've got refreshments. We just sit around with some tables and chairs and a place to put your Bible and some paper if you want to take notes or whatever. And we just talk about the Word of God and deal with people's questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. It's not where we come in and I say, "Well, tonight's topic is..." Now, on occasion, I would be lying if I said I never came in and said, "Well, tonight I want to mention something about..." Sometimes there are times when we do that. But the question became, and I didn't start it, about the Ezekiel 38 invasion of Israel, the Gog-Magog-led invasion. And from that, we went into the Psalm 83 prophecies, and we talked about some things that are predicted in the Bible about the coming destruction of Damascus, of Egypt, of Babylon, different things. And so we talked about this pretty much the entire 2 hours. I think in the last 10-15 minutes, we went off on a different track, but pretty much the entire Bible study Friday night, we were talking about wars in the Middle East, only to be woke up in the morning with, "Do you see what's happening in Israel?" And, you know, it's so, yeah, so I've been following that off and on all day Saturday as we were doing different things, and then today and in between services trying to find out more information and keep tabs on what's happening. And certainly, again, as I said, Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. We need to be praying for them, for all of the nation there. Last I saw, over 700 confirmed dead. A music festival near the Gaza Strip, near the border, where they came in, they surrounded the young people, hundreds of them, and just literally with automatic weapon fire just started gunning them down. There's even video out there, and I certainly don't recommend the videos, but there's video out there of these young people running for their lives as these what's being called freedom fighters, the Palestinian terrorists is what they are, like what one guy called them, orcs. If you're familiar with Lord of the Rings, the term orcs, it's like sort of like a goblin troll-like creature known for its barbarity and such not. He called them orcs. He said they're you can see them almost like target practice, trying to shoot down the young people as they're fleeing for their lives. And just, it's just heartbreaking seeing some of the stuff that's going on over there. So do pray for Jerusalem and the peace of Jerusalem, as the Bible says. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis. Our number tonight is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear from you. We've got Nancy waiting for us now. And Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Well, thank you for holding on.
Oh, you're welcome. I was very appreciative of your two-hour, I believe it's Rumble, the video that Maria sent me. So I got to hear the entire Friday night Bible study. It was very exactly what you said. You were talking so much about all this commotion in the Middle East and invasion of Israel, and then you were talking about Ezekiel 38 11, where somebody was asking, is this talking about Israel? No, because it's the land of unwalled village.
Yeah, or Israel today is what we should say.
Yeah.
And let me just interrupt you a second there. What you're talking about, the feed there is on rumble.com. We have, I'm trying to think, because we've been starting with Rumble here lately for our Friday night Bible study. And you can actually, we've had some computer issues, but we're slowly getting things worked out. And if you go to Rumble and you look for Richfield BBC, that's our channel there, Richfield BBC, and I'm not sure what the exact thing is that you plug in, but I guess if you go at Richfield BBC, search for that in Rumble, and you look for our Friday night Bible study, you'll be able to find that there. That was our October 6th Bible study there. So again, good that you were able to find that. Appreciate that, and looking at it, a number of people have looked at it, so.
All thanks to your member, Maria. She sent me the link. She said it was like a YouTube. But I hope in the future I'll be able to access it. You said it's Richfield BBC.
Correct. So, and we've been trying to do more with Rumble because, well, in this past summer we've been booted off from YouTube twice for violating their standards, you know. Yeah, without rehashing that, that's why we're hoping eventually to do more with Rumble here, so it's a little better platform for free speech. So, but yeah, Rumble, I guess it's rumble.com /user/ Richfield BBC. I think that is how you get to it, something like that. So, and also our social media. We're on a number of social media sites: Facebook, Getter, USA Today, True Social, Frank Speech. On that one now. Even have a Telegram channel, and we've put links to all of that on some of those. Basically, if you look for Pastor Al or Live with Pastor Al on a variety of those. Our website, Live with Pastor Al, has links to a number of our social media sites. And I try to link that Rumble when we go live on Friday nights. I try to link that onto a number of our social media sites.
Well, I was very appreciative to be able to hear the whole thing. And now I also had what you were talking about in the last half hour with Terry about McCarthy, you know, being removed by Matt Gaetz. And I was just wondering, Daniel 2:21, and you're talking about God, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. Now, I know McCarthy wasn't a king, but he was sort of like king of the house.
Yeah, a ruler, that's for sure.
God, yeah. Do you think God had something to do with removing McCarthy? And how do you know when somebody doesn't get elected, if God is the one that orchestrated it, or just, you know, men orchestrate? How do you know? I guess we don't know. Right?
Yeah, well, sometimes I think you can tell. One thing we do know is that God allows it to happen. If God absolutely did not want it to happen, it wouldn't happen. So there are some things God allows to happen, even though it's things that he'd prefer did not happen. For instance, let me go all the way back to the beginning of the Garden of Eden. God really didn't want Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. That wasn't what he preferred to have happen, but he did allow it to happen. Could God have stopped it? Yes, he could have, but the problem would have been then they would have no longer had free will. And so there are things that God allows sometimes that's not something that he wants, but it's something that he allows. Sometimes he has to allow certain things. Like I said, he's constrained to by his nature just because he gave them the ability to make a free will choice. He had to allow them to make a choice. But there are some things that God simply does not allow to happen. For instance, when Jesus was born and Herod determined to kill the infant Jesus, God was not going to allow that to happen. And he instituted events, the angel that spoke to Joseph and said, flee, because they're going to try and kill the baby. And so they fled to Egypt. So God did not allow that to happen. God actively prevented something from happening there. But when you read in Daniel chapter 2 there, you know, he changed at the time, in verse 21, he changed the times and the seasons, he removed the kings and set it up kings, he giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So he can absolutely take down rulers and set up rulers. But sometimes I think it's a case where he just allows something to happen one way or the other. For instance, when the Antichrist comes to power, I don't think he comes to power because God wants this guy to come to power and rule ruthlessly over people and persecute people who come to Christ during the tribulation. That's not his desire. But he allows him to come to power at a certain time because it's necessary so that he can bring about the end of Israel's rebellion and sin again, you know, disobedience, and bring about the the end of the disobedience and sin of the Gentile peoples, so that he can usher in Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So there's certain things that he's going to allow, certain things that he's going to hinder, and some things that he may actively from time to time intervene and actually do as necessary to accomplish his overall will and his overall plan. So McCarthy, God obviously allowed him to be removed. Now, maybe God's got a plan, somebody better to be there. Or maybe, and I actually have an article online delving into the situation with when Donald Trump lost his reelection bid to Joe Biden. And every index, you know, that we have that showed, you know, trends that some of these trends going back over 100 years as to who would win a presidential election. Every index, every indicator suggested that Donald Trump would win in a landslide, that he would win handily.
Yes.
And yet he didn't. He even actually had more votes than any other presidential candidate, you know, any president running for re-election in history ever had. And it's just that somehow or another, amazing, after 2-3 in the morning, a whole bunch of Biden votes appeared. It didn't hurt when somebody was, yeah, I was going to say it didn't hurt when they had people on video dumping boxes of ballots into these bins.
Right.
But that whole nother story, we're not going to get into all that right now. But what I'm getting at is God obviously allowed Biden to win and Trump to lose. Now, he allowed it to happen, but did he have perhaps a reason for it? And like I said, I wrote an article on that, you know, when that happened. And I'm just trying to think of the name of it. I'll find it here in a minute. But in the article, I basically looked at what's going on here in Daniel chapter 2. And I said that maybe, perhaps, the reason God allowed this to happen, this was an article entitled Why, just simply Why. I wrote this in February of 2020 or 2021, February 2021. And this started from a radio program that I did on a Friday afternoon in February, and looking at why God may have removed President Trump and allowed Biden to become the 46th president of the United States. And one of the things I speculated on is, as long as Trump was president and America was riding high, it would be virtually impossible for the globalists to accomplish their goal of a, you know, a new world order, a global order. And they've had these plans, and they've looked at Trump as being one of their chief obstacles. And, you know, if you think about it, when Barack Obama was president, you know, one of the things that he said that he was going to do was fundamentally transform America, and he was doing it. And Hillary Clinton thought that she was the anointed one to take over, and they thought they had it in the bag. She was going to come in, and she was going to do what the Biden administration is doing now, which would be based on the work that the Obama administration did. She was going to be working to overcome the last obstacles to America standing in the way of the coming new global order, which has to take place for the Antichrist to come to power to be the world leader that he's predicted to be.
Right.
And and so the United States has to be changed. The United States is too big of an obstacle right now. And so they're working hard to neutralize the United States. And they thought they had it in their grasp, and then in comes Trump. So one of the reasons they hate him is that they felt robbed. They had they had their dream of America's demise and folding into the global order in hand, they thought. And then Trump came in and upset all of their plans. Well, that was God that raised him up, and it was God that put him in that office. But could it be that we're in the stage right now where God's getting the world ready for the coming tribulation period with a one-world government led by the Antichrist? And so, therefore, Trump could not serve a second term in order that events could transpire to bring in this global order. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says that the mystery of iniquity is already working in the world, but Paul goes on to write how it's currently being restrained or hindered by the, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it, And he's working through us. He's working through believers. We're salt and light in the world. And so we're pushing back the darkness, retarding the spoilage in the culture around us. But when the rapture takes place and we're caught out of the world, then the mystery of iniquity will be able to come to fruition. And it'll culminate in bringing, as he's called there in 2 Thessalonians, the son of perdition, the man of sin. They'll bring him to power. And the United States has to be somehow done away with in terms of being the world megapower that it has been. And they're doing a great job of destroying us, aren't they? They certainly are.
Wow.
And so it may be that what's going on in the Congress is just a small part of this, where Speaker McCarthy got allowed him to be removed from office because it'll help either, and I'm not going to make the case either way, it'll either help retard and hold back the mystery of iniquity if he's gone, or maybe by letting him be gone, the mystery of iniquity will have greater course and opportunity to accomplish, as God is allowing it to do more and more to get the world ready for the Antichrist reign. And it is interesting, we've talked about this on the radio in the past and earlier this year, and I've read a number of things talking about some kind of event that was going to, a world-shattering event that would help lead to a global government was going to take place this fall. Well, if what we're seeing happen right now in Israel should turn into something larger along the lines of the Psalm 83 battle, I think it will definitely be a incredibly important event that will shake the world in many ways. In fact, I had back in 2012, I had written a small book, and it's actually available online. If you go to our website, Live with Pastor Al, you can find links to the book. But it's called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, subtitled Setting the Stage for the Rise of the Antichrist in the Ezekiel 38 Invasion of Israel. And I wrote that back in 2012. And I look at the nations that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and then also the ones that aren't mentioned that are key nations such as Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Moab and Ammon, which would be Jordan today, Babylon, which would be over around toward Iraq, and none of these are mentioned in Ezekiel 38. And then when you go through Scripture, you find out that these nations have been destroyed previously, apparently. I had somebody say one time, I've seen people say, well, the reason they're not mentioned in Ezekiel 38 is that, they couldn't put every nation in there, so they left some out. So they put Gomer and Togarmath in there instead of Syria and Egypt, right? they left them out for a reason. The reason is because they're not viable nations anymore. And so what happens to cause that to happen? I believe it's the Psalm 83 battle. And then, of course, having said all that, maybe in the second half I'll spend some more time on this, but the Psalm 83 battle, some people say, has already taken place. The wars that Israel was previously involved in. But the problem with that is, if the Psalm 83 battle has already taken place, and there are good people who believe in the Lord, the rapture coming back, the Lord coming back for us before the 7-year tribulation period. And they believe like us in all of these things about the return of Christ, except they believe that the Psalm 83 battle already took place. Well, here's the problem. The Psalm 83 battle eliminates a number of nations, and they're burnt up, basically. And then you can see the destruction forecast in the latter days for Egypt. And like I said, Damascus is destroyed overnight. Syria, Moab and Ammon, which is Jordan, also Lebanon, the Gaza Strip, which is Philistia in the Bible, the Philistines, and different ones. And they're wiped out. And that's why they're not in Ezekiel 38. Well, those places are still very much with us right now. And if they're very much with us, then I just don't see how Psalm 83 has played out. There's been some things that looked like it in the past, but they've never been successful. And, you know, when you look at Psalm 83, in fact, it starts out. Let me just read the start of it here. I mean, it's hard to keep referring to without reading the beginning of it. In Psalm 83, it starts out in verse 1, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they've consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee." And then it goes on to lead name a bunch of the nations and people. But notice what he's saying there. Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. When the invasion of Israel began yesterday, early in the morning their time, almost immediately billboards sprung up in Iran saying the liberation of Al-Aqsa has begun. Now, Al-Aqsa is the Temple Mount, the Al-Aqsa Mosque that's there in the Temple Mount. That's what they refer to the Temple Mount as, Al-Aqsa. And they're saying the liberation because they're saying that the Jews that are there in the land are people who have illegally stolen the land from them. And that's the idea. So when you look at what Hamas says in their charter and what Hezbollah says in their manifesto, they're basically saying what Psalm 83 says, let's cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And guess who's behind all this? Iran. And Iran frequently says, let's cut off them from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Maybe not in those exact words, but that's what they're saying.
They don't know the Bible because it's not in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. And they want Israel to be eliminated completely.
Right.
Land for peace is never going to work. When the Jewish state was set up as a result of the Balfour Declaration after World War II or one, they allocated an area for a Jewish homeland, and it included all of Israel today, as well as all of the country of Jordan. And the Arab interests were upset with that, and the British Foreign Office capitulated to the Arab interests, and in order to to bring peace to the area, to reduce the violence that was taking place, they gave away land for peace. They gave away 3/4 of the land that was set aside for a Jewish homeland, and that became the present-day country of Jordan. Jordan was set aside as a Jewish homeland, part of the Jewish homeland. They gave away 3/4 of it in order to bring peace, land for peace. Well, we see how well that worked. And so eventually, by the end of World War II, the UN was getting ready to give away land for peace in order to solve the problems there. They were going to give away half or more of the land that was left for the Jewish people and create a separate state for Arabs in the region, and a separate state for the Jews in the region. And it would have been a completely undefendable geographic area for the Jews. And so they said, no, this is no good. They're not going to rest until they've eliminated us completely. And that's when they declared their sovereignty, the nation of Israel. And immediately the surrounding nations attacked, and Jordan captured the West Bank and some of those areas and Jerusalem. And then, of course, later Israel won them back. But their goal has always been to cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may no longer be remembered, be no more in remembrance. And it's exactly what's going on in Psalm 83. That's what they're doing now. That's what is taking place. And the nations that are named in Psalm 83 are the ones that look like they're going to be destroyed in this battle. And so we've seen similar battles, but it's not taking place. Hey, we've got a break coming up. Do you need to hold over, Nancy? So
I'm going to hang up now.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Stay tuned. Another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about us, more about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can listen to past programs, read some of the articles and things that we have there, all at livewithpastoral.com. Well, I want to get into some things here, talking about the events that are taking place over in Israel, and just the absolutely horrific attack upon Israel that we learned about yesterday morning, and still the level of barbarity by these so-called freedom fighters is just mind-boggling. A number of people from other nations are over there and have been killed. I believe Brazil is sending in the Brazilian Air Force to evacuate Brazilian citizens out of there. And I think Poland said they were going to send in their Air Force to evacuate Polish citizens and just different things that are happening there. And you know, you're reading things, a lot of support for Israel. It's been kind of interesting to see the Eiffel Tower, the Empire State Building, the Brandenburg Gate lit up in the Israeli national colors, the blue and white, and with the Israeli flag, the Star of David, and all projected on them and different things and flying in different places as support of solidarity. But, of course, the naysayers are coming out saying, oh, this is because of Israel's aggression. This is because Israel's so evil. This is because Israel is such a bad a nation, and they deserve it, blah, blah, blah. But, again, as I said, a lot of people are questioning, could this be Ezekiel 38 beginning to take place? And I don't believe so. And let me give you one of the single biggest reasons for me that I do not believe that this is Ezekiel 38. And for those who are not familiar with Ezekiel 38, in this passage, it's a prophecy of a coming invasion led by Gog and Magog, who appears to be Russia and their allies, that invade Israel to take a spoil, as it says there in the passage. And as you're reading through this, the Bible describes in Ezekiel 38 the conditions of Israel at the time that this Russian-led coalition comes against Israel, okay? Now, let me just read what it says here. After going through the ones and the fact that they're going to come and take a spoil in the midst of the land, the description of the ones who are going to come and take a spoil in the land, it says this in verse number 10. And it says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Now, these two verses here in Ezekiel 38, verses 11 and 12, of the two verses, verse 12 is absolutely come to pass. If you think about it, in terms of the description of the land, not to take the spoil. Verse 12 again says, to take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the, and this is the part that's come to pass, the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Now, Samuel Clemens, better known as Mark Twain, that's his pen name, visited the land where Israel is today, back in the 1800s. He described it as the most desolate, godforsaken place he'd ever seen in his life. When the Ottoman Empire controlled the land, and they had tenant farmers they had brought in to farm the land, they had so wasted the soil that it just wasn't productive, and much of it was being simply abandoned because it was just unproductive. It was a desolate land. Well, today, if you've ever been to Israel or gone online and looked at pictures of Israel and everything, you would marvel at the incredible productivity of Israeli agriculture, the orchards, the farms, the groves. When I was in the United States Air Force back in the 80s and stationed at RAF Chicksands in England, we go into town to the markets, a greengrocer. I lived off base for a while, and there was a greengrocer, and there's a short walk from where I lived. And without a doubt, the best produce that you could get was the produce that came from Israel. I can remember getting the blood oranges, absolutely delicious. The Jaffa oranges, probably the best tasting orange you could ever have, the Jaffa orange. And other produce that all came from Israel. You know, in England, they had produce that came from, you know, Spain and Italy and places like that, much like we get, you know, in the wintertime, produce from Florida and California and all. Southern parts of the United States, we get that here in northeastern Ohio, so we can enjoy some fruits and vegetables even in the middle of winter. Well, where I was stationed in England, now some 60 miles or so north of London, we got a lot of produce in the wintertime that we could enjoy, and much of it came from Israel. And it was without a doubt some of the best. They were renowned for it. When I was at Colorado State University, one of the classes that I had, we had to take a trip, and I went through the desert southwest. We went down through Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Nevada, California, Colorado, and through that area, and studying land management and different things. And one of the people with us was a visiting professor from the University of Cairo, a Muslim man. And as we were driving around, he was in the van, I was one of the drivers, and as we were driving around, you know, he would be talking about things in Egypt and living in Egypt. And he made an observation. As a Muslim Egyptian, he made an observation. He said, you know, when the Jews began coming back into the land, he said, it's as if the land was waiting for them. He said they wherever they planted stuff, it just seemed like the land bloomed and produced for them. He said that we tried the same things that they were doing when they first came in, and the land didn't produce for us. And that phrase, it's like the land was waiting for them. Well, the Bible talks about the deserts blooming, and here in Ezekiel 38, it certainly says that the desolate places are now inhabited. And we see that today. That's Israel today. The people are gathered out of the nations, and we see that people from all over the world gathered to Israel and still coming to Israel. We've seen that. They've gotten cattle and goods. They dwell in the midst of the land. That's all absolutely true, but here's part of this in Ezekiel 38 that just simply is not true. At least I can't see how you explain it, but in verse 11 it said, thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. I'm sorry, I wrote, you know, my booklet, my short book back in 2012, The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, and I addressed this back then, and I haven't seen it change. You know, Israel's not a land of unwalled villages. It is not a land with neither bars nor gates. It's not a land where they're at rest, dwelling safely, not fearing for any attack. Israel is a land that has security walls and fences. They have bars and gates. I remember reading some time ago that people who live in the Golan Heights, the windows that face the north, to the Syrian side of the Golan Heights, that they have to have blackout curtains there so that at night snipers don't see where the lights are on and shoot at them, and they have bulletproof glass on the windows on that side of the building for the same reason. That doesn't sound like what we're reading here in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 11. Something has to change to get Israel into this position. Well, right now we have the things in verse 12 are there, but the things in verse 11 are not in place. And certainly they're not in place right now. They're certainly not dwelling at rest and dwelling safely. We've had the threat of terror attacks and all that. People have said, well, the Psalm 83 battles took place, and they're dwelling safely because the power and might of the Israeli Defense Forces guaranteeing their safety. Right, okay. I'm still watching the news, and I'm not seeing Ezekiel 38, verse 11, true over there right now. So what would change that? Well, I think a key is in Ezekiel 38, the nations that are mentioned are interesting, but the nations that are not mentioned are very interesting as well. And what I mean by that is some very important nations are not mentioned in Ezekiel 38. And those nations are Syria and Lebanon and Egypt. Also, what at the time would have been Moab and Ammon, which would be Jordan today, and also Babylon, which would take us over into the realm of Iraq. They're not mentioned in Ezekiel 38. Persia's mentioned, and Libya's mentioned, and Ethiopia is mentioned. And you say, well, Eritrea's not in there. Well, that's because Ethiopia, at the time Ezekiel 38 was written, everything from, if you look about where the Aswan Dam is, south of that was considered Ethiopia. That would be modern-day Ethiopia, Sudan, Chad, Eritrea, was it Dumanji? I think the other one that's there. But all of that would be Ethiopia. And then it says Libya. Well, also at the time that Ezekiel 38 was written, Libya would have been all of the land on North Africa west of Egypt and Ethiopia. So Libya would have included today's Libya, as well as Morocco and Tunisia. It would have also included probably places like Niger and some of those other Saharan and sub-Saharan African nations. And these are all listed in that area. But Egypt's not. Well, why is Egypt not? Syria's not. Why are they not? Why is Libya not? Well, this is where we go back to Psalm 83. And again, this is why I believe Psalm 83 has not yet taken place. Some people think that it has, and I understand that. But in Psalm 83, I read some of it already, and I'll just come down where they're consulting together and saying in verse 4, come and let us cut them off from being a nation that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And then it says here as we continue in verse 5, for they've consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines, the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher is joined with them, they've holpen the children of Lot, Selah. And for time's sake, let's just hit a couple of these here to give you an idea where we're talking about. Edom and the Ishmaelites, their area was down around in the Sinai Peninsula, for one thing, and extending down to, guess what, Egypt. Who controls the Sinai today anyways? Egypt. And so we have that there. There's other areas that bring in Egypt a little bit more and some other prophecies as well. But we've got Moab and Ammon mentioned there. As I said, that would be Jordan today. We've got Tyre mentioned there. Well, Tyre's up in Lebanon. We've got Philistines. Philistine in the Bible is the same word as Philistia. The Palestinians are the Philistines. That's the same word. If you got a King James Bible, and I hope you do, King James Bible brings some of this out, where it's the same word. The Romans in the second century, when they evicted the Jews from the land of Judah, they renamed it Philistia or Palestinia. And so Palestinian, Philistia, same word. Palestine, Philistine, same word. Palestinian, Philistines, same thing. It's the same word. You can check it out in your King James Bible. And so it was a name given to insult the Jewish people. The Philistines as a people were destroyed. But guess what it says here? It says the Philistines. Well, where did the Philistines live? Well, there's an area called the Gaza Strip. That was Philistia. And they're the residents there today. Well, who is it that's behind this attack in Israel? Well, it was the residents, those coming out of the Gaza Strip. And now, of course, Hezbollah in the north has weighed in, and that brings in Syria and also Tyre or Lebanon. And there's some other areas with that that we have. Asher brings in Syria and different things. Asher be Assyria and covers some of that area. And Amalek is also going to cover some of Esau in Egypt. But anyway, it gets into a number of these places here. And what happens to them in Psalm 83? They come together. They can sort of get. Wall Street Journal had an article saying that Iran helped orchestrate this, and that Hezbollah even was there, and Hamas was there. I read some things online where they're interrogating some of the terrorists that they captured. The Israelis are, and they've admitted that they have been planning this for over a year. And they have said that there was a meeting about a week or so ago before all this kicked off, and they orchestrated what they're doing. Now, that brings in an interesting little area there that I'll mention it here a little bit because we don't have time to get into it. But there's an interesting prophecy in Jeremiah 49 regarding a place called Elam. And in verse 39, it says, "It shall come to pass in the latter days," talking about Edom being in the latter days. And in verse 35, before that, it says, "I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might." And that would appear to be a reference to destroying their military might. Elam, it'd be in the western part of Iran today, but Elam is not Persia. Persia is mentioned in Ezekiel 38, but not in Psalm 83. But Elam is also going to be destroyed in the latter days. And could it be that Israel strikes back? Read a thing I'm trying to think. A lot of things on my computer right now. It's hard to follow everything at one time. But let me see if I can find this one thing. First, we shall bury our dead. Then we shall deal with Gaza. Then we will deal with Iran. That's Amir Sarfati. Some people are familiar with him, following him online, which, by the way, I don't believe Amir Sarfati believes that the Psalm 83 battle is future. And he's pretty much on the same page that I am with the other things, but he thinks that Psalm 83 is already taking place, and I would differ with him on that. But that statement there, he's an Israeli citizen. He's a born-again Jew. First, we shall bury our dead. Then we will deal with Gaza. Then we will deal with Iran. What if there's a strike on the area of Iran that would be known as Elam in Jeremiah chapter 49, and where that part's destroyed. But yet Iran survives because the part of Iran that corresponds to Persia is not destroyed, and they're part of the Ezekiel 38 battle. But the others are destroyed. In fact, in Psalm 83, and just trying to rush through this really quickly, invite you to go online, read some of our stuff at livewithpastoral.com talking about this. But he says in verse 9 that they say to God, "Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kisa, which perished at Endor and became as dung of the earth. Make their nobles like Orb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna." And what they're saying is, let them be completely destroyed. And we have passages in the Bible that indicate that Israel will destroy some of these places. Some of these places will be destroyed. Egypt will be destroyed, and it will be made uninhabitable for 40 years. I don't have time to get into it, but read Ezekiel 29 talking about that. Uninhabitable for 40 years. Elsewhere, Isaiah talks about Damascus being destroyed, and overnight in chapter 17, it says in verse 14, "Behold, at eventide trouble, and before the morning he is not." In the idea being that Damascus will be totally destroyed overnight. And best that I can come up with that would explain some of this. There's other passages that talk about Babylon being uninhabitable and just different things which suggest nuclear contamination and which could result from a nuclear strike on these areas. And you know, looking again at Ezekiel 29, where it talks about Egypt being destroyed and the people forced to flee they can't come back for 40 years. Think about this, the Aswan Dam, if that were to be destroyed, how would you destroy it? It's one of the largest earthen dams in the world. You can't just blow up a nuke on the surface of it and expect it to destroy it. Most of the force would be reflected away. But if you had a burrowing nuke that went in, say, 100 feet into the surface of the dam, and you did several of them across the length of the dam or the breadth of it, and you blew them up at once, well, the clay that's in the dam is a very fine particle, and you know, you got gravel, sand, silt, and then clay, the finer particles, and it's sticky, and nuclear fallout sticks to clay. Clay particles have an affinity for radioactive fallout. And so you'd have this radioactive mud tumbling down the Nile Valley. 90%+, probably 95%+ of the Egyptian population lives in the Nile Valley and on the Delta. And this floodwaters would reach Cairo, I think, in a couple of hours. And mixing with chemical plants and sewage treatment plants and just sending this radioactive polluted mud all through the Nile Valley, begin to see why the Egyptians can't live there for 40 years? Well, that's not happened yet. Damascus being destroyed overnight, how would that happen? You know, it would take a while using conventional warfare to destroy a city. A major city overnight, a nuclear bomb could do that. Maybe that's how it destroyed overnight. And that's not happened. You know, and elsewhere, some of the predictions that are made. It just simply has not happened yet. Their enemies in Psalm 83 have not been completely destroyed as yet. And he says in continuing here, in verse 12, I know we're running out of time, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Oh, my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. Let me tell you, a nuclear blast would be a fiery tempest indeed. If this happens... And then he says, fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. I'm not saying that what's taking place over there right now is the beginning of the Psalm 83 battle, but it could be. And if it is, are you ready for what's going to take place in the world? Hey, the best way to be ready is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I got good reason to believe that the rapture could take place sometime during a Psalm 83 battle. I hope you're ready. Well, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.